for Family Shabbat, we usually tell a story. But given that we're in the summer and I didn't think we'd have a whole lot of kids, I decided to do something a little different tonight, to still on the same theme, to share a few anecdotes and stories with you, but from a particular Jewish world, and that is the one of the Hasidic tradition. So a little background. A chassid, what's a chassid? Where does this come from? A chassid, that word began originally meaning someone of exceptional piety, but it has come to mean someone who is a follower of Israel ben Eliezer, who is better known as the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov means the master of a good name, and he was the founder of what became Hasidic Judaism. He lived in Ukraine in the 1700s. His Judaism was still Orthodox, but it was less formulaic and less rigidly ritualistic than the orthodoxy of his day. He encouraged joy, and he believed that every person, not just the learned, most learned rabbis, but every person could connect with God if they fervently tried to. I just swallowed wrong, sorry. Thank you. L'chaim. Yeah. So this is Hasidic Judaism, and his followers then set up shop in various cities and developed their own disciples. And each kind of school within the Hasidic movement is known by the city in which it started. So you have the Ger Rebbe, who lived in Ger, Poland. You have the Lubavitch Rebbe, who lived in Lubavitch, Poland, and so on. Each with their own spin on the way of life taught by the Baal Shem Tov. So that's a little bit about that. Fast forward now to Martin Buber. Martin Buber was born in the late 1800s, lived on into the 1900s. He was born in Vienna. Buber is Jewish and becomes a famous philosopher. Buber lived between two worlds, the secular and the Orthodox. He came from an Orthodox family, and he grew up in the home of his grandfather, who also lived in two worlds. He was a noted rabbinic scholar, and he was a well-to-do banker. Buber had a traditional Jewish education, but he became university educated, and he eventually became a philosophy professor in Germany. While he was a classic philosopher, he rejected orthodoxy, but then he was eventually drawn to the wisdom and spirituality of the Hasidic world, and at one point he immersed himself in it for 6 years. The book that Buber's most famous for is called I and Thou, and it is about the idea that we don't just know God by relating to God in some sort of abstract way, but that we can also know God in our relationships with other people, by treating other people as godly. We bring a spirituality and a holiness to those relationships. But tonight, it is a different book of his that we are going to hear from, this book called Tales of the Hasidim. As you can see, it's got a few tales in it. It's a book filled with legendary tales about some of the noted Hasidic rabbis of the 16th to 19th centuries. Some of the tales are very fanciful, and Judaism does have a rich corpus, by the way, of fairy tales. And some of these Hasidic tales are very magical, very superstitious, but they also teach us of a rabbinic world of the Hasidim, and they have some good Jewish lessons. So here's my advice. Take from these what you find meaningful and leave the rest. I have picked a few tales from the book that I thought might be more appealing to us and have good lessons for us. So I'm just going to share 4 tales, and I'd love to, with some of them, I'm going to ask you your thoughts on them. So here we go. So the first one is about the Baal Shem Tov himself. Now, the Baal Shem Tov after time, he developed many disciples. And one of these was a man named Rabbi Jacob Joseph. And Rabbi Jacob Joseph, at first, was completely opposed to the Hasidic way. He was a very stern, austere, Jew, as you're going to hear. And this is a story about how he came to have a connection with the Baal Shem Tov. So when Rabbi Jacob Joseph was still a rabbi in, I'm going to not pronounce this well, Sarigrod, and bitterly averse to the Hasidic way, a man whom no one knew came to his town, the town of Rabbi Jacob Joseph, one summer morning at the hour when the cattle were taken to pasture, and stopped. This man stopped in the marketplace with his wagon. He called to the first man who came along leading his cow, and he began to tell the man a story. And it pleased the listener so much that he could not break away. A second man caught a few words in passing. He wanted to go on, but he too could not break himself away, and he stayed and listened. Soon a whole group of people were gathered around the storyteller, and still their numbers grew. And among them stood the custodian of the synagogue, who had been on his way to open the door of the synagogue. For in the summer, the rabbi, Rabbi Jacob Joseph, always prayed at 8 a.m., and the doors had to be opened by 7 a.m. Now at 8 a.m., the rabbi came to the house of prayer and found it locked. It is well known that he was very particular and quick to fly into a temper. Now, too, he was angry, so he set out to look for the custodian. But just as he stepped out, just as he turned around right in front of him, for the Baal Shem Tov had told him to go on his way, there was the custodian. And he wanted to know why. Why are you late? And he said, well, there was this man, and he was telling stories. Well, the rabbi shouted at him and told him to open the synagogue right away, and the servant did so. And after the man went in and prayed, the angry rabbi, who had to say his prayers all alone because everyone else was still listening to the storyteller, then he told the servant to go to the marketplace and fetch that stranger. I'll have him beaten up, he cried. That's what the story says. In the meantime, this man, who of course was the Baal Shem Tov, had finished his story and gone to the inn. There the custodian of the synagogue found him and delivered the message. The Baal Shem Tov immediately followed him out in a leisurely way, and in his manner he came before Rabbi Jacob Joseph. What do you think you're doing, shouted the rabbi, keeping people from prayer? Rabbi, said the Baal Shem calmly, it does not become you to fly into a rage. Rather, let me tell you a story. What do you think you're doing, was what the Rav wanted to repeat. And then he looked at the man closely for the first time. It is true that he immediately turned his eyes away, but nevertheless, the words he had been about to say stuck in his throat. And the Baal Shem had begun his story, and the Rav had to listen like all the others. Once, said the Baal Shem Tov, I drove cross country with three horses, a bay, a piebald, and a white horse, and not one of them could neigh. Then I met a peasant coming toward me, and he said, slacken the reins. So I slackened the reins, and then all three horses began to neigh. The Rav could not say anything. He was so taken with emotion. Three, the Baal Shem repeated, bay, piebald, and white did not neigh, but the peasant knew what to do. Slackened the reins, and they neighed. The Rav bowed his head in silence. The peasant gave good advice, said the Baal Shem. Do you understand? I understand, Rabbi, answered the Rav. And he burst into tears. He wept and wept. You must be uplifted, said the Baal Shem. The Rav looked up to him and saw that he was no longer there. Anyway, so this goes along with the idea that the Baal Shem Tov taught moderation, not austerity. Slacken the reins a little bit. Don't be so hard on yourself or on others. So, all right, next tale. All right, this is about a different rabbi. Okay, so the Baal Shem Tov, one of his most well-known disciples is named the Magid of Mezrich. Magid means a storyteller. So he was from Mezrich. He would go and tell the tales of the Baal Shem Tov. During his stay in Mezrich, a certain rabbi of Kolbishov saw an old man come to the great Magid of Mezrich and ask him to help him get rid of his sins. "Go home," said the Magid, "and write all of your sins down on a slip of paper and bring them to me." When the man brought him the list, the Magid glanced at it, and then he said, "Go home. All is well." But later, the Rav of Kolbishov observed that the Magid of Mezrich read the list and laughed at every line. And this annoyed him. How could anyone laugh at sins? For years, he could not forget the incident until once he heard someone quoting a saying of the Baal Shem Tov. "It is well known that no one commits a sin unless the spirit of folly possesses him, unless foolishness possesses him. What does the sage do if a fool comes to him? He laughs at all the folly, and while he laughs, a breath of gentleness is wafted through the world. What was rigid thaws, and what was a burden becomes light." The Rav reflected. In his soul, he said, "Now I understand the laughter of the Holy Magid." So again, maybe a little lightness with our mistakes. All right, two more. All right, I'm really curious to see what you guys think of this one, so just know I'm going to ask. Rabbi Shalom Shakna lost both of his parents when he was very young. And he grew up in the house of Rabbi Nachman of Chernobyl. So Rabbi Shalom is younger, Rabbi Nachman's older. Rabbi Nachman gave Rabbi Shalom his granddaughter as a wife. However, some of the ways of Rabbi Shalom were different from Rabbi Nachman's and unpleasing to him. He seemed, this is Rabbi Shalom, seemed to be very fond of show, nor was he constant in his devotion to the teachings. The Hasidim kept urging Rabbi Nachman to force Rabbi Shalom to live more austerely. One year during the month of Elul, the time when everyone contemplates the turning to God and prepares for the day of judgment, Rabbi Shalom, instead of going to the house of study with the others, he would betake himself to go every day to the woods and not come home until evening. Finally, Rabbi Nachman sent for him and admonished him to learn a chapter of Kabbalah every day and to recite the Psalms, as did the other young people at this season. Instead, Rabbi Shalom was idling and loafing in a way particularly ill-becoming to one of his descent. Rabbi Shalom listened silently and attentively, and then he said, this is the part I want your thoughts on, "It once happened that a duck's eggs were put into a hen's nest, and she hatched them. The first time she went to the brook with the ducklings, they plunged into the water and swam merrily out. The hen ran along the bank in great distress, clucking to the audacious youngsters to come back immediately, lest they drown. 'Don't worry about us, mother,' called the ducklings. 'We needn't be afraid of the water. We know how to swim.'" So that was his answer to his father-in-law. I have my thoughts, but I'm curious what yours are. What do you think he was saying? So he didn't want to go to the house of study every day of Elul. He was going to the woods instead. And so, yeah, so the answer is, you know, maybe that he's like the hen who gave, you know, the hen gave birth to duckling eggs and they went a different way. So maybe it's different folks, different strokes for different folks. And he needed the forest and other people needed. Okay, that's my take on it. So do what works for your soul, maybe. All right, last one, and this is short. But I like this one, so I hope you'll like it too. A young rabbi complained to the rabbi of Rizhin, "During the hours when I devote myself to my studies, I feel life and light. But the moment I stop studying, it is all gone. What shall I do?" The rabbi of Rizhin replied, "This is just as when a man walks through the woods on a dark night And for a time, another joins him with a lantern in hand. But at the crossroads, they part, and the first must grope his way on alone. But if a man carries his own light with him, he need not be afraid of any darkness. It's nice, I think, about maybe finding some inner strength and support. You don't just need it from the text, that you can also find it within you. At least that's my understanding. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed some of these Hasidic tales. There are many of them. They're a little different, but again, from a different world, but have some good teachings, I think. So I hope you enjoyed them.